If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll begin reading with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, and all the saints which are all in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Verse 5, for as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have ye ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, even for life. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. We'll stop reading with these verses tonight. And you know, God's comfort is an amazing thing. You know, I sat and listened as Brother Roger was praying, and I thought he's setting a very example in his prayer of what I'm trying to preach on tonight. And it certainly, when you think about the comfort, just to be saved, what a comfort that is that the rest of the world cannot enjoy. They don't understand. They don't comprehend. To be saved, the comfort that that brings to us, the peace that that brings and should bring to us, especially for us that are looking to the Lord for His coming. You know, that's a great peace. And it's amazing in the sense that that peace passes all understanding, what the Bible said. And, you know, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says there that that peace, Brother Andy, that peace keeps our hearts and it keeps our minds through Christ Jesus. The rest of the world don't have that. They don't have that peace that keeps their hearts, that peace that keeps their minds, because they don't have it through Jesus Christ. And so when you look at the world, we see chaos, don't we? Everywhere you look, I mean, it's hard to find good news in the world we live in. It's hard to find, oh, it's out there. I know there's things that, you know, we might find encouraging, but for the most part, you look at the world we live in, and it's in chaos. And I thought about the peace and comfort that God allows us as His children, how that He gives us peace in the midst of chaos. You know, there's a peace that passes all understanding. It's kind of like in the eye of the storm. You think about the storm and how there's just chaos in the storm. Brother Bud, right in the center of it, there's perfect peace there. You know, we experience that in these hurricanes that come through, and how, you know, you get one wall of the hurricane, and then you get that perfect peace that just for a moment, a short time, and then you have the chaos that hits again. You know, that's kind of the way the world is, and yet we have Christ. We have our Lord. And so Paul said he's thankful that he has that. That he has, even in tribulation, he was able to find that peace that was there, that's provided by the Lord. You know, let's get this scene just for a minute that Paul is speaking of here in Asia. He said he's in Asia, And while he's there, there's some tribulation that came upon him, and even maybe young Timothy there, that this tribulation come upon him, and it was so much so by human standards, so much so by the world standards, that he was pressed above measure. That you can just imagine being pushed beyond what you're able to endure. He said beyond, he was pressed above measure, beyond his own personal strength, beyond their strength, that they were pressed. You think about torture and how that maybe they're being tortured in such a way that it's beyond what is humanly possible to even endure. He said so much so that they despaired even of life. You think about the Apostle Paul and these early saints that were going through so much being pressed upon them, so much cruelty really being put upon them, that they'd rather be dead than alive. You know, Paul always did say, we read, and one thing we note of him is to live as Christ and to die as gain. But this is a little bit different here, Brother Calvin. This is not just Paul saying, look, I'm glad to be a Christian and I'm doing the will of God while I'm here, and the moment I leave this earth, I'm going to be better for it. This is him saying that he was pressed so much so that he was without strength and that he wished for death. He's pressed beyond measure. And yet in a time like that, God's grace was sufficient. Well, that's encouraging to me, Brother Roger, to know that, you know, us as ministers, that we have to go through things. We have to face things. And sometimes you think, well, this is real hard to go through. This is too much to go through. This hurts my heart. This hurts me maybe physically, or this hurts me very much, emotionally or whatever. And to know that, wait a minute, now God's grace is sufficient. Even if we press beyond what we can endure, His grace is still sufficient. And He comforted them in the midst of all of this. He brought them through the torturous circumstances that they were going through. And now that He's on the other side of it, now that He's come through some of that, and He's not in that current state anymore, He's able to say, now we have a testimony with us that we're able to use this suffering we went through to encourage you that are going through some suffering. You ever thought about that? You may suffer here so that later on you can help somebody down the road. You know a little bit about what they're going through. You're able to suffer here and God brings you through it, and you're able to turn around and encourage someone else who may be going through something that's too much for them to bear. Now, really, I want to focus on verse 11. This is burning my heart. He says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Prayer, these people were praying for Paul. They were praying for what they were going through, the circumstances. And that prayer unified these people with Paul and with Timothy as well, as though they all were going through it together. They were praying, and really in a manner of speaking, they were going through it together. Prayer unifies us in that way. You know, what are you saying, Brother Brad? They didn't have to suffer like Paul did. No, but the Bible tells us, as part of the church, when one of us hurts, we're supposed to all hurt. When one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here, you know, that they were suffering, and he knew that he had this church that was praying for him and suffering, going through some things because of what he was going through. And now they could all turn around and rejoice together because God answered those prayers. God brought him through. You know, prayer is a power that we badly underestimate. I say we, that's a blanket statement. Let me say, most of us badly underestimate the power that is in prayer. You know, prayer has the power to change things. And I know you've heard that, and I hadn't told you anything new. And I don't want to just say something that might bore you, but I want you to stop and consider that just a minute, because we do underestimate prayer. And prayer has a great power with God to change things. And it also connects us with the ones we're praying for. It makes that concern relevant to us. You know, I thought about County Line Church and how that their building, they stood around, they watched their building burn almost to the ground for its total loss of the building. And I thought about that. I began to dwell on that. And I wanted to pray for them. And I have been praying for them, but the more that I stop and just consider it, the more that it become relevant to me. The more I understood, you know, the pain that would cause. There's a lot of heartache over something like that. And you say, well, that's just a building. They can get past that. You know, prayer unifies us in a struggle that helps us to bear one another's burdens. I think about it, it unifies us as well in rejoicing when that prayer is answered. You know, when the day that I get to see them rebuild will be the day I get to rejoice with them because of God bringing them through. You know, and you say, well, that's just a simple thing. Maybe it is, but I tell you, prayer does others good. When they know that we're praying for them, it does people good. I hear all alone somebody calls and says, Brother Brad, God just put you on my heart. I've been praying for you. That does me good. Just to know that, it encourages me to keep on going, to know I've got people that's praying for me. You know, I don't just say that just to fill up space. Church, pray for me. That's not just me, you know, making a statement that preachers are supposed to make. That's a legitimate concern. I want you to pray for me. You know, prayer is a wonderful invitation for us to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. A little grace. Boy, it's needful. You know, to have saving grace, to have living grace, even to have dying grace, that's a wonderful thing. And to be able to come before God's throne and to come not guessing or not, you know, not timidly, but to come boldly before the Lord and to ask for that help that we need. What a wonderful privilege that is. Let me tell you tonight, prayer opens doors that otherwise might remain closed for us. Prayer on behalf of others creates opportunities for them. Look over at Colossians chapter 4, if you will. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 says here, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Paul said, church, look, I make sure always I'm praying for you. That's not just a statement. That's the truth. That's what we need to be doing as God's people. You think about how weak we have become when we get to a point where we don't pray for one another anymore. Whenever we don't take a prayer request seriously, you think about how weak that makes us as God's people. Paul said, I pray for you always, verse 2. But we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Look at verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Let's back up and look at verse 2. I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, wherewithal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So he said, pray for us. Funny how it goes together with chapter 1 of the next book, don't it? Pray for us. Continue in prayer that God would open unto us a door of utterance. A lot of people look at missionaries and they think, well, the missionaries are out there doing a good work. We need to maybe send a little money to them or whatever. How do you think about praying for them? Which one do you think does most good? Praying for them or sending money? That's a tricky question, ain't it? Okay, well, they need our support, they do. Missionaries need our support. They certainly do. And it's good whenever we support them. But I tell you something else, they need our prayer too. Because what does that do? Prayer opens a door. That's what he said here. Paul said, look, I'm out here on the missionary field and I'm doing missionary work and I need you to be praying for me that I can have a door of utterance that I can speak to them. What is utterance? That I can speak freely. Pray for us. That we may be able to win souls, that an opportunity would be open for us to win souls. I ask, can I pray for someone else and God hear that prayer and open a door for them? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the way this works. You ever wonder why doors seem to be closed? Why loss seems so hardened in our day and time? Prayer opens doors. Prayer opened the door for Paul. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Paul speaking to the church there and he said, look, the word of God now flows with you freely. And don't forget about me over here. And you pray for me so that the Word of God can have free course here like it does with you. Pray that God will open up a door for us. You know, you think about prayer. And a lot of times when we consider prayer, we consider that to be something very personal. And it is. You know, prayer is personal. I think about the prayer of Jabez and how, well, he seemed very selfish with his prayer, didn't he? But God answered it. He prayed, he said, Lord, bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. He goes on to say, that your hand will be with me and it'll be well with me and keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me. That's personal. That's personal. I've heard some say you shouldn't pray like that. You know, be selfish with your prayer. I tell you what, there's nothing wrong with having a relationship with God that we can just talk to Him like He's our best friend. Ride down the road and in the car and speak to the Lord like He's sitting beside you. There's nothing wrong with that. God is our Father. We need to give Him the honor that's due to His name now. I'm not saying, you know, so many people try to water it down to where God, you know, He's no more than human and we brought Him down on our level. I'm not saying that. But have freedom to pray to Him and be with Him. That's a wonderful blessing. David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do that? Through prayer. David worshipped alone as a shepherd boy. How did he do that? Well, he's speaking to the Lord, wasn't he? It's good to have a personal prayer life to ask God for that daily bread, but it's also good that we pray for others too. But look over at 1 Timothy, if you will, chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. verse 1. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and all giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all their inner authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Prayer. I say to you, I exhort you, saying I'm begging you, I'm asking you, therefore, that first of all, the first thing you do now, supplication, prayers, intercession. You know what intercession is? To intervene on the behalf of another. That's what intercession is, especially whenever it's referred to prayer. In other words, to pray for somebody else, you're intervening on their behalf. Intercession. You know, can prayer save the soul of another person? If I pray for somebody that's lost, can that save them? I don't have that kind of power, do I? Well, if we did, I tell you what, we just all pray real hard and make sure everybody gets saved. But I tell you what it can do. It can open a door of opportunity that they otherwise might not have. Whenever a mama and a daddy gets real concerned about a lost child, you know that, I believe that affects. That shows that child that mama and daddy's concerned. That shows them, but also it opens up opportunity. You know, we pray for the lost here. Don't just be going through the motions with that. Let's pray for the lost. Let's think about who we're praying for. Let's be concerned about them. Let's be concerned about the lost. You know, prayer for our leaders will open up spiritual opportunities for our leaders. Listen to what he said here. He said, first of all, this first thing you do now, you pray in supplication, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Do it for all men. Do it for kings. Do it for those in authority. Why? Because it does some good. It's a wonderful thing. Be able to pray to a God that hears and can do things to help us. You know, prayer will help us to live peaceable and quiet lives. Prayer can quiet our fears, the fears of our heart. And it's the prayer of faith now that God hears, ain't it? Got to be a prayer of faith. Whenever someone says, pray for us, we need to take that request seriously before our God. We may not understand the strain that they're under. Somebody said, pray for me, I'm going through something. I'm going to make a confession here. Now, there's been times when I've taken that too lightly. Somebody said, pray for me. I've taken that lightly at times. Shame on me for that. We should be ashamed if we take that lightly. We have no idea sometimes the stress or the burden that somebody might be under, Brother Roger, when they make that request. If we truly believe prayer changes things, we need to be on our knees before God on their behalf. Our prayer may bring help for them in a time of need. Now, Brother Brad, listen. God's will be done. We need to understand that. I'm not saying tonight we're trying to get our will accomplished in heaven. I'm saying we're trying to get God's will accomplished here on earth. We want to see God's will accomplished. And he said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God wants us to pray. He wants us to take our prayer life seriously. So many times, that's the one thing we let go by the wayside. Don't have time today. We're in a hurry. We just kind of say a few words that we've learned to, what we've kind of memorized. We'll just say them words real quick, be on our way. I want to encourage you tonight to be able and willing to stop and take the time to really get serious about praying. I want to encourage you whenever you go to your prayer closet, and that's a statement that's made. It can be your prayer closet, it can be the back 40, it can be the shed, it can be riding down the road in your car, wherever you are, whenever you get along with God, I want to encourage you. You take my name with you. Pray for me. I need it. Let's pray for the church here at Mars Hill. I believe with all my heart that no doubt God is working at Mars Hill. And certainly He's dealing with hearts here. But let's be much in prayer for them. God will continue. And He'll open up those doors that need to be opened. When you do, you be sure you pray for me too. Let's pray for these men that sent out from the church here at Mars Hill. Let's pray one for another. We are to pray one for another and bear one another's burdens. So, Brother Brad, I might not know their burdens. I don't know to pray for them. You might not know everything going on in everybody's life. But I tell you what, we can pray one for another. God knows the things going on in secret. God knows those unspoken requests. God knows them. But are we willing to take them to the Lord and leave them there? We ask for a song.